Matthew chapter 5. This is a regularly reflected text by many people. But there are some things that I think we misunderstand about the text for the most part. When we talk about the Beatitudes, we say you should be all of these things. But what I see here is not that we should strive to meet these things, but that they define who we are. No, they tell us that by the time we're 5 years old, a lot of our personality traits are already ingrained. And in fact, they go back further than that, and they say within the first 6 months, it is established our future because of how much we are loved and held or how much we are not. And, you know, we've learned, well, you don't always pick up a crying baby. And there's great debate all the time. But we're seeing how important it is to have the physical touch, the hugs, the kisses, all of that stuff that we'll do with a little baby that builds their character and builds their confidence, builds their relationship and their reliance and their trust in others at an early stage. And so it's important, especially that new babies, that they get that kind of love and attention and affection, that they have that security to know that they belong here and that they are safe here. Well, the same thing is true in church. And that doesn't mean we're going to kiss everybody on the way out, but it's important that we feel like we belong here, that we feel welcomed and encouraged. But there are some things, if we can notice different types of people, and we don't want to, you know, profile or put somebody in a box, but the truth is people fit in different categories, don't they? And we see people and say, you know, you remind me of so-and-so. Well, that's because they're the same type. And we look at that here in chapter 5. Jesus, seeing the multitudes, went up into a mountain. He loved the mountains, didn't he? He loved the mountains, and what a beautiful place it is. And one of our friends just came back from a tour of Israel, and I'm just enjoying seeing all those pictures popping up on her as she shares them. When he was set, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Now, to be poor in spirit, I always say what I said the other day, it's probably true that we're all poor in spirit at some point in our lives. If you understand what poor in spirit means, it actually indicates a trembling. You know, there's a nervousness, there's an uneasiness, is humility and repentance, specifically as we talk about the spiritual, poor in spirit. But have you ever seen somebody that just had a trembling presence? It seemed like they were scared of everything. That's what we're talking about here. Oh, they're broken. They're humbled. And that's what we see. Nervousness. That's what the term actually means, trembling. If we look at it as approaching God and trembling in the presence of God, then of course we're talking about humility and repentance, realizing that God is great and we are nothing. Well, if we just take a step back and look at the population of this county, we'll say, well, we're not really that important, are we? And take back the population of the country. Oh, we're very insignificant. And then we step back and see the world. And when you step back and look at the whole earth, try to find yourself on that map. We're very insignificant in the grand scheme of things. But when we look at God, isn't it great that though we may consider ourselves insignificant in all of history and all that is, that God so loved you that he sent his only begotten son, that if you will believe in him, that you wouldn't perish, but that you would have everlasting life. Isn't that great? That God says we are graven in the palm of his hands. He says that. We're graven in the palm of his. That's how important you are. You don't have to raise your hand, but I wonder if there's anybody among us that's got somebody's name tattooed on their body. Well, I will guarantee you that that's because that person is significant to you, right? And would you believe that God said we are graven on the palm of his hands? Well, he wouldn't have graven us on the palm of his hands if we weren't significant to him. And he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, the broken, the trembling. Because he says, thine is the kingdom of heaven. The whole kingdom of heaven is yours. All of the strength of God in heaven, all of the presence in heaven are behind you. How many of you feel supported? Again, you don't have to raise your hand, but you feel like you've got somebody in your corner. Somebody who would come to your need. Somebody who would help you if you needed it. Well, you say, well, I've got my family, or I've got the church, or I've got some friends. No, if we're poor in spirit, he says, the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Everybody is behind you in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Just as we said, there are periods or seasons in our lives where we are poor in spirit, nervous, trembling, wrecked, broken. I'm sure that we could all relate to verse 4. Mourning, grieving, broken. Again, just wiped out. Like all that matters to us is erased. Over and over we go through this. Through the church, we love people and we stand by them in their hours of need. But he said, blessed are they that mourn. They shall be comforted. Oh, he didn't say your broken heart will be healed completely. There's always going to be that missing part, that missing piece. And it's going to maybe even be ripped open from time to time and feel fresh all over again. But he said, blessed are they that mourn. You will be comforted. Look, was he is he promising the comfort of the church? Well, he ought to be able to promise that. We are family. But that's not his promise. His promise is coming from heaven. His promise is that heaven will comfort you. His promise is that God will comfort you, that God will send a host to comfort you, that the Holy Spirit of God, the actual physical presence of God, spiritual presence, I guess, the tangible presence of God, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, will comfort us. By the way, that's His name. His name is Comforter. Jesus says, if I go, I'll send another. He will be the Comforter, the one that comes alongside. How many of us ever needed somebody beside us? Just need the presence of somebody, just a friend, somebody to listen, somebody to talk, somebody just to be there. I'm reminded again of the friends of Job. And we look at the friends of Job and we say, oh, they weren't very good friends. But you know, the Bible says they showed up, and when they showed up, they rent their coats and they put dust on their heads and they sat with Job and they said nothing for 7 days. They sat there and just were there. That's a friend. We wonder sometimes, well, I don't know how to comfort this person. I know they're going through something, but what can I do? You know what? Just show up. You don't have to stay all day, but just show up. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Just be there. Just let them know that you love them. That's all it takes. What can I do to help? Just be there. Just your presence. He says, the mourning shall be comforted. Verse 5, blessed are the meek. The meek. Now, does meek identify everybody? Is he telling us that we should be meek? He's identifying us again. In times of our life, I would say we're probably all meek. Easy. Mild. Easy to get along with. How many of you feel like you're easy to get along with? Right? How many of you don't think you are? It says, meek. Blessed are the meek. They shall inherit the earth. What's he saying? He's saying that our personality is going to take us a great distance. That our character, that our demeanor is going to determine where we go in life. It's going to determine what we have in life. And I know you say, well, Pastor, are we talking about prosperity? We're talking about comfort. We're talking about having our needs met. And if you are going around being a bully all the time, you have no assurance that your needs will be met, that you're going to inherit the earth. Verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Those who are curious, those who are inquisitive, those who want to know God, those who want to have the presence of God. We want to be near God. He says, you hunger and thirst. How many of you have ever been hungry? How many of you have ever been thirsty? I know there are people who have been hungrier than you've been, but I've been hungry before. Hard to believe, but I have been. And I've been thirsty before. By the way, I can tell when I'm getting dehydrated. I can taste it in my mouth. I can taste the dehydration as it's setting in. And so I've been to that point. Guys, spiritually speaking, and he said hunger and thirst after righteousness, spiritually speaking, we can anticipate when it's coming. We know when we're getting close. How many of you have ever recognized in yourself that you are drifting from God? Just don't love God the way you used to. Just don't love the Bible the way you used to. Don't love the church the way you used to. Don't love singing like you used to. It starts to fade and starts to diminish. Do you recognize that? Or do you wait until it all of a sudden hits you that you've backslidden? We got a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Oh, he says you'll be filled. They shall be filled. You're going to find it. Those who seek God will find him. Didn't Jesus say that? Ask, seek, not. Knock, right? Ask, seek, knock, A-S-K. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. What are you really looking for? What are we really looking for when it comes to church, when it comes to God, when it comes to Bible study, when it comes to prayer? What are we really looking for? He said, if you're really looking for righteousness, you'll get it. If you're really looking for truth, you'll find it. If you're really looking for God, he will come to you. He'll meet you halfway. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. I think of that man that came to the judge and the king said, well, you owe me $1,000. I know it's not dollars. He said, you owe me $1,000. He says, oh, I'm so sorry. I don't know how I'll ever pay it back. And he said, well, I forgive you. Another man came and says, oh, yeah. You owe me $10,000. He said, oh, I'm so sorry. I don't know how I'll pay it back. He said, okay, you're forgiven. And he went to the other guy that owed him money. He had been forgiven, but he went to the guy that owed him much less. And he said, you're going to pay every dime with interest. The king found out about it and he threw him in jail. He said, you're going to pay every dime of your debt too. Because we got to show some grace to people. How many of you believe everybody makes mistakes? Make everybody fails. Everybody falls short. The Bible says all have fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us. But how come it is that somebody else's sin is worse than our sin? Because again, I'm not excusing sin. I'm not endorsing sin. But I'm saying we got to show some grace. We got to be merciful if we expect mercy. We got to love people in spite of their sin. I'm not saying, again, don't feed their sin, but we got to love people in spite of their failures. God loves us in spite of ours. God loved you when you were unlovable, and he still loves you when you are unlovable. And me too. He does. The merciful shall obtain mercy. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart. How many of you have met that person? Just pure in heart. Man, they just love God. They love God. They want good. They want the best in the world. They want everybody to have the very best. They don't hate anybody. They don't dislike anybody. They don't want to get even with anybody. They just want everybody to find God, to find faith. And they want to know God. They desire the very best for everybody. That's purity. That's pure in heart. He says, they shall see God. Isn't that incredible? They shall see God. You know, the truth is that what we have in us is what we see in others. And when we don't like ourselves, we don't like anybody else either. Because we're trying to overcome our faults and we see everybody else's faults. He said, blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. When you get up in the morning, you see the sunrise, you say, oh, I see God's hand. When you see the sunset, I see God's hand. When you see the waves, I see God's hand. When you see the mountains, I see God's hand. When you see a flower, you see God. When you see the clouds, you see God. When you see a rainbow, you see the promise of God. When you see nature, when you see animals, you see God. They shall see God. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. Now, so far we've talked about personalities, haven't we? We've talked about character. Poor in spirit, meek, hungering, thirsting after righteousness, merciful, pure in heart. But see, those are all who we are. But then there's not just who we are, but what it causes us to do. He says here in verse number 9, blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the children of God. doing the work of the Father. We just had Father's Day. How many of you ever heard that song, I See My Father in Me? Seeing my Father in me? We're doing God's work. We're peacemakers. Doing God's work will be called the children of God. Bringing people together, bringing solutions, bringing resolutions. Not disrupting and causing trouble. Understand that is our work as Christians, is to bring people to God. Peacemakers. They should make peace with God. Yes, with each other, but peace with God. That's our job. That's our role. Verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now we're not talking about what we do. We're talking about what happens to us. Again, are these things that we desire in our lives? No, we don't want to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. We want to do what's right. We don't want to have trouble because of it. The problem is we're so afraid of the trouble that we don't do it. And we need to do it. Persecuted for righteousness' sake. Again, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. All of heaven is behind you. I thought about getting somebody, and Bobby's here this morning, I could have gotten him to do it, right? Come stand behind me and say, now Bobby's my defender, how many of you want to take me on? Right? I think Bobby could whoop you, right? Get a big old, you know, big guy behind me, you say, well, I could whoop you, okay, but let's bring Bobby up here. Now you want to fight? And you see what's behind me, you say, oh, I don't want to fight with you, I have to deal with him. Exactly the point. That's exactly the point. Guys, we're not in this by ourselves. Understand, the host of heaven is behind us. The kingdom of heaven is behind us. The kingdom of heaven is supporting us. The kingdom of heaven is there, is cheering in our corner. Verse 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. You say, well, they're lying about me. Well, you should have expected that. It's never nice when people lie about us, but we can anticipate it will happen at some point if we're doing the work of God. That people are going to say something that's not true. Make suppositions or make up lies, however you want to say it. He says it's going to happen. And you're going to be blessed because of it. Verse 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad. That's hard, isn't it? Oh, you lied about me. Hallelujah. That's hard to do that. Somebody lies about you, you want to get your hands around them, right? You want to fight them. No, he said, just rejoice and be exceeding glad. Look, great is your reward in heaven. Again, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They shall inherit the earth. They shall be filled. Look at these promises. They shall obtain mercy. They shall see God, be called the children of God. He said, look, you're going to have a great reward. The main thing is stay in it. Stay in it. God made us different. God has different personalities, different characters to meet and to reach different characters. You will not be able to reach everybody. That's why God made somebody like, you know, like me. And I will not be able to make, that's why God made somebody like you. But between all of us, all the different personalities and all the different characters, capital, right, characters, in our church, we ought to be able to reach a bunch of people for Jesus. Even if they lie about us, even if they're against us, we're to do the work of God. Verse 13, he said, ye are the salt of the earth. Isn't that wonderful? We look at salt and understand the time and the culture, salt was so valuable, high-end salt was so valuable, they would actually pay soldiers with that salt. The Roman word, S-A-L, that's where we get the word, salary. Salt. S-A-L, that's how they say salt. And that's where we get the word salary. It was used to pay people. And so what do you pay people with? You pay people with something that is valuable, something that is treasure. And he said, you are the treasure, the salt of the earth. You're what's valuable to the earth. Isn't that incredible? Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, see, you could get high-end salt, and then you could get Dollar Tree salt. Notice I didn't say Dollar General. That's good stuff, right? You can get the high-end salt, or you could go down to the Dead Sea and scrape up the salt there, and it's basically the cheap stuff. Well, what is he saying? He's saying if you're no longer the valuable salt, but you've lost your potency, you're still here beyond your usefulness, you say you're good for nothing but to be cast and trodden under the foot of men, what would they do? You take this high-end salt and you put it on meat to preserve it. But of course, as we're applying that salt, even the good salt, some of it would be discarded. And what would we do with that salt? Reuse it? No, of course not. You scrape it up and you fill potholes in the road with it. Trodden under the foot of men. That's what he's talking about here. They understood it. There was no surprise to them. They knew what he meant. But he said, are you going to be what everybody longs for, or are you going to be what people discard? Guys, when the church, when we look at ourselves as the representatives of God, I want people to want what we've got. I want people to long for the Word of God, for the Spirit of God, for the energy of the church, for our energy. I want it, when I walk in the room, I want people to level out, be, you know, peace come in. Oh, now have confidence. But you know, when some people walk in a room, and maybe some rooms that I walk in, you know, when we walk in, they go, oh, great. He says, if that's become the case with your church, you're going to get walked on. Because you're not doing what you should be doing. He's talking to the apostles. It's a beautiful place there on the hillside. I see the flowers and the grass as he stands there and speaks to them. He's saying, guys, we got work to do. But if we don't do it, we're not good for anything but to be walked on. And we deserve it. Verse 14, he says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You know, there are people watching us. There are people, if you have proclaimed your relationship with Christ and you say you are a Christian, people are watching what you do. They're listening to what you say. And they're measuring your Christianity, your faithfulness, your devotion by what you do and what you say. Not just you, but me and us. And we're being measured. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. He said, look, you're supposed to be giving light to others. Don't just keep it to yourself. Well, I believe that my salvation and my faith are personal. Well, amen. I'm glad they're personal, but you need to share them. I'm glad it's personal to you. It should be personal. When somebody says to me, well, you know, I just believe that my faith is personal. You know what that means? That means they put their light under a bushel, if they've got any light at all. We don't. That's not what light's for. Light is to be put up on a candlestick so that all can see. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Look, he doesn't say go out and brag about it, but just let people see it. Well, I don't want to do it because I don't want people thinking that I'm trying to be pious. Well, are you supposed to do it? Then do it. Let them see it. Let them see your charity. Let them see your good works. Let them see your good deeds. Let them see you taking care of the needs of others. Show the world. You see, the world's looking for hope. And they're hoping we have something that'll help them. And people come into the church, and I'm glad we have visitors today. When people come in here, they're hoping that somebody's got something in here that will help them. And if they come into the church and they find no hope and they find no help, then they go away discouraged. When they come into here or when they see us out and about and they're measuring our consistency, are we really genuine? Do we do what we say we are? They know what a Christian should be. Are we living up to it? Because how discouraging to say, well, the best Christians I know don't even live it. The best Christians I know don't even believe it themselves. What do they see in us? I hope they see Jesus. Because He is the hope. He is the help. Father, we love You and pray that You will use this time of invitation to draw us to you, that commitments will be made, that decisions will be made, that souls will be saved and lives will be changed. We surrender ourselves to you. God, we realize that in seasons of our lives, we meet different points of this text. Sometimes we're broken and sometimes we're meek. And sometimes, well, we're pursuing and hungering and thirsting after righteousness. We accept your promises, we believe your promises, and we find you to be faithful in all those things. Right now, if there's anyone in this room that doesn't have the assurance of salvation, I pray that today, right now, they will look to you and say, God, forgive my sins and save my soul. I put my faith in you. God, if there's anyone here with a need that is great, mourning or grieving or struggling, I pray that they will reach out to you and say, God, my hope is in thee. Do your work in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand this morning? The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray, or you want me to pray with you. He begins these verses by saying, blessed, blessed, blessed. The blessings of heaven, the blessings of God. God is looking on you and saying, I know who you are. I made you. But don't turn away from me. Don't reject what I have to offer. Is your heart right with God this morning? The salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. All right. How many of you like to drive down the road with dim headlights? Bright. The world needs the light that God has to offer through us. Anything for dismissed. Be back tonight, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, 7. Ladies, don't forget, Tuesday night at 6 o'clock. Brother Andy, would you dismiss us, please?